FM，
听鸟儿的欢鸣，溪水的婉转。
There's in every living creature.
听爱与恨，悲与喜，苦与乐，得与失。听跳跃的文字，灵动的声音。
You're listening to Morse Read.
欢迎来到轻松调频美文阅读 More to Read， 我是沈听，让我们在这里一起听美文学英语。今天让我们一起来听巴西作家保罗·柯埃略的一句话，英国诗人菲利普·拉金的一首诗歌 Going， 开步走，以及由中国当代作家王蒙所写的一篇文章寻找女人与狗。
More to read.
用文字抒发感情，用文字诉说故事，用文字穿越古今。
Daily quote.
It's the possibility of having a dream come true that makes life interesting. Paulo Coelho.
正因为有梦想成真的可能性，才使我们的生活变得有趣。保罗·柯埃略。这句话出自巴西著名作家保罗·柯埃略创作的长篇小说《牧羊少年奇幻之旅》。这部首次出版于1988年的小说讲的是一个名叫圣地亚哥的少年寻求宝藏的故事。在接连两晚做了关于埃及金字塔附近藏有宝藏的同样的梦之后，受到撒冷之王国王麦基喜德的启发，他卖掉了自己的羊群，开始了艰难的南下之旅，穿过海洋到达非洲，穿过死海到达撒哈拉沙漠，寻找生命的宝藏。最后在一个沙漠炼金术士的帮助和指导下，他攻克了所有的艰难和困苦，最终走到了金字塔处。在这里他感悟到了宝藏真正的藏身之地，并最终找到了宝藏，是一部表达梦想和完美生活且具有强烈宗教主义与象征主义的寓言故事。小说自出版后便风靡全球，被译成多种语言，是当今在世作家作品中被翻译最多的小说，也是历史上最畅销的葡萄牙语小说。小说作者保罗·柯埃略于1947年出生于巴西的里约热内卢，被誉为极具影响力的当代作家之一。柯埃略以博大悲悯的心胸，奇绝独特的视角，清澈如水的文字，将哲学沉思、宗教奇迹、童话寓言融为一体。
It's the possibility of having a dream come true that makes life interesting. Paulo Coelho.
正因为有梦想成真的可能性，才使我们的生活变得有趣。保罗·柯埃略。
Going, Philip Larkin. There is an evening coming in across the fields, one never seen before, that lights no lamps. Silken, it seems at a distance, yet when it is drawn up over the knees and breast, it brings no comfort.Where has the tree gone that locked earth to sky? What is under my hands that I cannot feel? What loads my hand down?
开步走，菲利普·拉金。有一个夜正在来临，越过没有点灯的旷野，从没有人见过他。在远处看他，像一匹丝绸，但当他被拖到膝盖、胸口的时候，却没有带来任何慰藉。那把大地锁到天上的树去了何处？是什么在我的手下？我却不能感觉。是什么压低了我的双手？
我们刚刚听到的这首诗歌 Going 开步走，出自英国著名诗人菲利普·拉金，英文版本由 Mark Griffiths 为您朗读，中文版本由南海之声的主持人米亚牛为您朗读，由桑克翻译。菲利普·拉金于1922年出生于英国的考文垂，1985年去世，英国诗人。1943年他毕业于牛津大学的圣约翰学院，曾先后工作于威灵顿公共图书馆以及雷斯特、贝尔法斯特、赫尔等大学图书馆。拉金反现代主义，高度强调个人性，冷眼看世界。他的诗歌主题建立在英国的事实之上，这和他始终如一的保守英国精神息息相关。他的诗歌大多采用传统的英诗格律，运用自如而巧妙，但是他又将粗鄙的俚语和口语成分引入到考究的诗歌结构与韵法之中。他的诗歌充满了想象力，但又具有逼真的细节。其诗歌风格深受哈代的影响，冷静、忧郁、自嘲，精心地绘制出一代英国人的历史环境和精神肖像。
Going, Philip Larkin. There is an evening coming in across the fields, one never seen before, that lights no lamps. Silken, it seems at a distance, yet when it is drawn up over the knees and breast, it brings no comfort.Where has the tree gone that locked earth to sky? What is under my hands that I cannot feel? What loads my hand down?
开步走，菲利普·拉金。有一个夜正在来临，越过没有点灯的旷野，从没有人见过他。在远处看他，像一匹丝绸，但当他被拖到膝盖、胸口的时候，却没有带来任何慰藉。那把大地锁到天上的树去了何处？是什么在我的手下？我却不能感觉。是什么压低了我的双手？
世界 用心用心聆听
Beauty of Words。
王蒙1934年出生于北平，今北京市，中国当代著名作家学者，著有长篇小说《青春万岁》《活动变人形》等近百部小说，其作品反映了中国人民在前进道路上的坎坷历程，曾获得意大利蒙德罗文学奖、日本创价学会和平与文化奖、俄罗斯科学院远东研究所与澳门大学荣誉博士学位、约旦作家协会名誉会员等荣衔。2019年9月17日，中国国家主席习近平签署主席令，授予王蒙人民艺术家的国家荣誉称号。我们接下来要读到的文章《寻找女人与狗》是王蒙借俄国作家契诃夫的短篇小说《女人与狗》的标题而命名的。好，下面就让我们一起来读一下这篇文章的中英文版本。英文版本由徐英才翻译。寻找女人与狗，王蒙。 Looking for the Lady with the Dog by 王蒙。据说在堤岸上出现了一个新人，一个带小狗的女人。 It was said that a new person had appeared on the seafront, a lady with a little dog. 可能都有这么一个时期，你觉得契诃夫的小说是应该也极容易背诵下来的，温柔忧郁，悄悄地清高一把，没完没了地眯着眼睛叹息。背诵这样的小说是一种享受。44岁就死了，但是甚至仅仅通过翻译也赢得了那么多共鸣和神往，微笑和泪花。你好像看见过契诃夫，你好像听到过他的悲凉和文雅的声音，你无法想象世界上，尤其是在革命前夜的俄罗斯，有一个这么样柔和，这么样善良，这么样羞怯，这么样天才和极端精致的男人剧作家、小说家。戏剧与小说的排序，我是根据大美不是大英百科全书来写就的。 There might be a period of time in your life when you think that Anton Chekhov's novels should be and are extremely easy to memorizefilled with gentleness, sentimentality, and a sense of holier-than-thou. You lament with your eyes half-closed. Memorizing his novels is enjoyable. Although he died at only 44, through mere translation, he won much literary acclaim and appeal, smiles and tears. You seem to have seen him. You seem to have heard his melancholic and urbane voice.You can hardly imagine that the world, especially pre-revolutionary Russia, would have produced such a gentle, kind-hearted, shy, talented, and exquisite man, playwright and novelist. I got the order of this list, playwright and novelist, from the Encyclopedia Americana, not the Encyclopedia Britannica. 契诃夫有点软弱，他害怕那种个子又高又自命为有思想的女人，可能还有男人。一个贩卖自己有思想的人，一个动不动给自己与自己的小圈子戴上思想者的桂冠的同类，让人觉得矫情或者矫强，不知道这两种写法哪种更对。刘少棠生前提起那些摆着思想家的架势写小说的人，简直是深痛勿绝，虽不全面，事出有因。Chekhov was somewhat weak in character. He was afraid of tall, erect women who claimed to be intellectuals, and maybe also of men of the same type. Anyone who sells himself or herself as an intellectual, or labels his or her social circle as intellectual, is either pretentious or arbitrary. I wonder which of the two is better.When he was alive, the late author Liu Shaotang abhorred those who posed as intellectuals when they wrote. Although biased, this opinion of his was justified, to a certain extent. 已经有许多人写过雅尔塔契诃夫的故居了。我在2006年11月3日近午参观完马桑德纳酒窖后，来到这个故居。 感觉很有些不同。Many persons have written about Chekhov's home in Yalta. I visited it on November the 3rd, 2006, after seeing the Massandra Winery. My feelings were somewhat different, though.
契诃夫无论如何是太纤细、太敏锐了。他生于1860年，死于1904年，在俄国1905年革命的前一年。他当然没有经受过二月革命与孟什维克参加了的临时政府，没有经历过列宁的十月革命，没有经历过斯大林、卫国战争、两极争霸直到苏联解体。他在雅尔塔的别墅也没有受到1945年2月三巨头雅尔塔会议的干扰。那个会安排了战后世界的格局。
No matter what, Chekhov was too delicate and sensitive. Born in 1860, he died in 1904, a year before the 1905 Russian Revolution. He certainly had not experienced the February Revolution of 1917 and the Menshevik Provisional Government.Had not experienced Lenin's Red October Revolution, had not experienced the Stalin era, the Great Patriotic War against Nazi Germany, the Cold War between the two superpowers, and the collapse of the Soviet Union. Nor was his home in Yalta affected by the Yalta Conference, the wartime meeting of the three magnates of the United States, the United Kingdom, and the Soviet Union, which laid the basis of the post-war world order.
俄罗斯的经历是太严酷了，他本来不可能容得下契诃夫，他可以产生果戈里，他可以产生陀思妥耶夫斯基，他可以产生屠格涅夫、普希金，强烈的与理想的、浪漫的，却不是淡淡的契诃夫。所以契诃夫就更宝贵，樱桃园和三姊妹就更宝贵，雅尔塔海地上的带小狗的女人就更宝贵。即使是高大的思想者们，不也有时候需要一点契诃夫式的温存和忧伤吗？
What a cruel experience the Russians had gone through. It should have left no room for Chekhov. It may have suited Nikolai Gogol,Fyodor Dostoevsky, Ivan Turgenev, and Alexander Pushkin, those passionate, optimistic, and romantic writers, but not the plain Chekhov. This, therefore, rarefied him, rarefied the cherry orchard and the three sisters, and rarefied even more the lady with the dog on the Yalta bank. Didn't tall and erect intellectuals also need the gentleness and melancholy of someone like Chekhov from time to time?
一些文章很注意描写契诃夫在雅尔塔的故居是白色的，但那天给我印象更深的是绿色。这是一幢乡村别墅式的二层小房子，比较简朴，但是有高低不平的园林，大量的树木与花草。包括休闲椅子也是绿色的，绿丛中是清澈的小溪流淌，地势倾斜，水声悦耳，稀里哗啦，昼夜不停。他的说明书与解说词如梦如忆，如旧书，如老友，如老照片。高尔基、列维坦、柴可夫斯基的身影都在这哗哗的水声中出现过，墙上挂着的照片里也有托尔斯泰，说是契诃夫早年是非常崇拜托尔斯泰的，后来他去过了萨哈林岛，对于托翁的勿以暴力抗恶的主张日益反感。另有一说是契诃夫讨厌托夫人的傲慢与装腔作势，不知道是不是带小狗的女人中男主人公祖罗夫的太太的那种类型。
Chekhov's cottage in Yalta was described in some writings as white,But it impressed me that day more as green. It was a rustic two-story cottage, relatively simple, but with an undulating orchid in the yard. All the numerous trees, plants and flowers, and the outdoor chairs were green. Weaving amid the green clusters on the slope was a limpid stream, gurgling mellifluously day and night. The tour pamphlet and literature about the cottage seemed to me like dreams or reminiscences.Early epistles or old friends, time-worn pictures or photos. Maxim Gorky,
Isaac Levitin, and Tchaikovsky. Their images all seem to have bubbled out of the stream. Leo Tolstoy was in the photos on the wall. Some said that in his early years, Chekhov had been a great admirer of Leo Tolstoy. But after visiting Sakhalin Island, Chekhov developed a strong antipathy to Tolstoy's advocacy of nonviolence against evil. But a different story said that Chekhov disliked the arrogant and pretentious attitude of Tolstoy's wife. I wonder if she was of the same type as the wife of Dmitri Dmitrich Gurov, the protagonist in The Lady with the Dog.
契诃夫的房子不算大，但是间量很多。说他在1897年购买此地产时，已经发现了肺结核。他策划了房屋的修建，给自己的家人，包括母亲、妻子与妹妹等，都安排了住房。这种顾家的精神很容易得到中国人的理解与认同。
Chekhov's cottage wouldn't be considered large, but it had multiple rooms. It was said that he already knew he was suffering from tuberculosis when he bought the property in 1897. He planned the construction himself and set aside rooms for family members, including his mother, wife and sisters.Such a spirit of caring about family easily won the understanding and support of the Chinese.
马桑德拉酒窖也是1897年建造起来的。巧合也是一种美，重叠和同步也是一种动人的机缘。
The Massandra Winery had also been built in 1897, a beautiful coincidence. Overlapping or synchronicity was also something that could touch our hearts.
也许更重要的是别墅的位置。这是雅尔塔呀。出院不远就是黑海，就是防波堤，就是颜色深离、波涛汹涌的一片汪洋。而他在带狗小说中描写过的海边的售货商亭仍然无恙，仍然一如当初。
More important about the cottage was perhaps its location. It's in Yalta.Not far from the yard with the Black Sea beyond the dam, a great stretch of the dark, surging water. And Verney's pavilion, which Chekhov mentioned in his The Lady with the Dog, was still there, in as good a shape as it had been in the story.
只有那种自由而满足的，不管到哪儿去或者不管聊什么都无所谓的人，才会这样谈天。他们一面散步，一面谈到海面多么奇怪的放光。海水现出淡紫的颜色，那么柔和而温暖，在月光下，水面上荡漾着几条金黄色的长带。他们谈到炎热的白昼过去以后，天气多么闷热。他从他口中知道，他是在彼得堡长大的。他在雅尔塔还要住上一个月。至于她丈夫在什么地方工作，在省政府呢，还是在本省的地方自治局执行处，他却无论如何也说不清楚。连他自己也觉得好笑。古罗夫还打听清楚，他名叫安娜·谢尔盖耶夫娜。
And there sprang up between them the light jesting conversation of people who are free and satisfied, to whom it does not matter where they go or what they talk about. They walked and talked of the strange light on the sea. The water was of a soft warm lilac hue, and there was a golden streak from the moon upon it.They talked of how sultry it was after a hot day. And from her, he learned that he had grown up in Petersburg, that she was staying another month in Yalta, and that her husband, who needed a holiday too, might perhaps come and fetch her. She was not sure whether her husband had a post in the Crown Department or under the Provincial Council, and was amused by her own ignorance. And Gurov learned too that she was calledAnna Sergeyevna.
说是岸边有一个铜像，是带小狗的女人安娜与她的男友祖罗夫。我好几次都错过了寻访铜像的机会，与铜像失之交臂。最后还是在政协秘书长郑万通先生的怂恿下，冒着雨打着伞，溅了一身水滴，且行且找，找到了安娜、祖罗夫与小狗。可惜铜像的环境没有得到保护，照出照片来也没了契诃夫的气氛。
I was told that there was a bronze statue on the bank. It was of Anna, the lady with the dog, and Gurov, her boyfriend. Due to inconvenient circumstances, I had missed many a chance to visit the statue. Finally, encouraged by Zheng Wantong, Secretary General of the CPPCC National Committee, I went out into a rain to visit the statue, carrying an umbrella but still exposing myself to splashes of raindrops. I found Anna, Gurov, and the dog. But unfortunately, no Chekhov flavors could be found in the photos I took, because the surroundings of the statue had not been well preserved.
我曾经在旅馆房间的窗口处长时间外跳。我多么希望能够看到一个带小狗的女人啊。带狗的女人终于出现了，但不是小狗，是硕大凶猛之狗。女人也早失风情。在最最最迷于契诃夫的年代，我的生活翻了一个个儿，再没有为契诃夫留下余地。我不知道这是幸运还是不幸。
Once I looked out the hotel window for a long time, ardently hoping to see a lady with a dog. They did appear, much to my expectation. Yet the dog was not a puppy, but a huge, fierce borzoi, and the lady had lost her youthful charm. During the years when I had been obsessed with Chekhov, my life had turned upside down, which had left no room for him anymore.I was not sure if that was a good thing or a bad thing.
总算回到了女人与小狗的身边，总算回溯了一下往事，重新读了一回带小狗的女人，一时间感动如初，然后说再见，上车，去距离不远的克里米亚首府新菲托波尔机场，回国。
Finally, I was back to where the lady with the dog had been. And at last, I had recalled the past, reread the lady with the dog. And for the time being, was as carried away as I had once been in my youth. Then, I bid farewell to the statue, got on a bus for the Simferopol airport in the capital of Crimea, and returned to China.
感谢您收听今天的美文阅读节目，您还可以通过云听和 CGTN 官方 APP 在线实时收听美文阅读以及轻松调频的其他节目。想要查看美文阅读节目文稿，欢迎您访问网站 radio.cgtn.com。 今天的节目就到这儿，我是沈听，我们明天见。